I want to talk to you about something which is very close to my heart, and that is packing. Okay, I love packing because when I'm packing, it generally means I'm going on a holiday and I'm going somewhere exciting or something is happening. Or if I'm packing up a house, it means that we're going to another house, we're upsizing, which in Peter and my case, right through our married life, it was continually upsizing. And that is as God kept blessing us with more children, then the house obviously became too small. So packing to me always represents something which is exciting. Now, I did have some amazing photos. As a family, we are known for our packing. I would not say the female Lewises pack lightly. I wouldn't say that at all. We are known to pack heavily, and to particularly my daughters, to pack for everything that could possibly happen. And we have got so many packing stories, and many of you have heard some of them. I one of them, which we were actually going to show you a photo of, we maybe do it later, was when we went to America in 2011. And there were six of us then because neither Caleb or Caitlin were married at that time. And so we had six of us. And when we were leaving Texas to fly home, we'd been staying with Brother Jerry Seville over there, and that we had six people. We had 12 cases. Every case was extremely overweight. Nothing was close to weight. We had six pieces of overweight hand luggage. And then we all had an extra kind of like a shoulder bag or something. Let me know if the photo does come up. Then we also had an electric guitar to add to the collection. And it was quite the spectacle. And so I remember when we were leaving Brother Jerry and Miss Carolyn's house, I remember they were praying with us. And Brother Jerry said, "I'm known as a man of favour." He said, "I don't even know whether my faith is strong enough to believe that you've got favour to get from Texas to Melbourne without paying an extraordinary amount when you've got so many cases and they're all overweight." And I remember he actually said to me, he said, "You know what?" He said, "If you get through all the different checkpoints," we were going Texas to LA, LA to Honolulu. Honolulu is Sydney, Sydney to Melbourne. So we were, and our cases were going off and on at each of these points. He said, "If you can get through without paying excess luggage," he said, "I will write a chapter and dedicate it to your family in my next book." I need to tell Brother Jerry he owes us a chapter. He still hasn't done it, but we got through. When we arrived at the Dallas airport, the porter who was there just stood like, when he saw it, and he said, "Come, we'll take you around the side." He said, "We couldn't even fit you through the main area." So nobody weighed or checked our cases. It took us through. We had one of the other airports, I think it was the LA airport, where the ladies who was checking us in, she said, she said to Peter, "The first case was so overweight." She said, "Can you take things out of that case and put them in all the other cases? Because," she said, "this is extremely overweight. It's going to cost you a lot of money." And he said, "Excuse me, ma'am," but he said, "every case is overweight." He said, "We do not have any room." And she was just looking and she was aghast, and then she's working out how much it's going to cost, because excess luggage in America is extremely expensive, really expensive. And she's looking at it all, and then it was a lady or a man. A man came walking past behind her, bent over, did something on the computer, and then just walked off. And she said, "Well, he's just voided it all out. He's cleared it all." But then she didn't know who the man was. So I believe he was an angel. I can't guarantee it. We then turned around to look and we couldn't see him. But he literally came, put his hand over her shoulder, did something. He obviously had security codes, voided it out, and then he went and that then disappeared. And that. So we got all the way home with all this luggage. And that. So, and that's one of our epic stories. We have a picture of us arriving at Tullamarine for Graham and Judith and some of them who'd come to meet us. I think they were just like, "My gosh, we left the semi-trailers home, with all of our luggage piled high, and that." So, but as I said, there's always pressure when it comes to packing to make sure that you pack the right things, the things that you need. And some of you may remember a story when in 2015, the year my mum passed away, we were we had actually, back at the beginning of the year, had booked and fully paid for a non-refundable 2-week holiday in the Gold Coast. And a couple of weeks before, or a few weeks before, we were due to leave in May, my mum took ill, and then it was became fairly evident very quickly that, like, this was the end of her time on earth and that God was calling her home. And so for the time leading right up, literally almost to the midnight hour, I didn't even know if I'd be going to Queensland. It was like, I don't want to go if she's still alive, even if she's in a coma. I'm not comfortable leaving. I don't want to be away. And it was a really kind of, you know, it was a pretty emotionally taxing time. You've got this fully paid for but totally non-refundable holiday. Peter does, and the kids don't want to go without me. There was a whole lot of things. And we just kept saying every day, Lord, our time, everything is in your hands. Anyway, the Monday night, my mum was promoted to heaven, and we were flying out at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So Tuesday was spent trying to tie up my mum's affairs, arrange a funeral, just working around the clock. It was late Tuesday night that it was like, okay, we're going to go on this holiday, I think more because I think we all felt we all needed it. Peter was very sure that I needed it. It had been a pretty hard few weeks. So we're going to go, and we had booked the funeral for when we got back. And so about 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, I packed to go to Queensland. After a very emotional time. Oh, okay, that's the photo. Sorry, that's the photo. This is the Lewis family. Remember, there's only 6 of us. We've now got 8 of us, or 9 of us. Imagine how we'd pack now. So this is us arriving back from our time in America. And that is the test. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we had worked out when we were with Brother Jerry that we would be looking at potentially at least $1,200 on excess fees, which had been a faith trip from the get-go. We didn't have $1,200 sitting around, but there you go. We got through. We got, and that the guitar even came. I think it gets played here on Sundays, and that we all came through. We wore our Texas hats when that. So that's proof that God is a miracle. Yeah, the hats didn't fit and nothing else fitted in the bags. And that God is a miracle worker. He can do the impossible. So we want you to know that. So that is a picture which is a treasure to me. Anyway, going back to my mum had passed, where I'm packing 10 o'clock at night. And then now understand we're going to the Gold Coast for a beach holiday. We got up there. I was probably in a little bit of a numb state. I wasn't really thinking. I remember just sitting on the plane and just doing nothing, literally for 2 hours, just kind of staring out the window. And then we arrive at our apartment that we're staying in, right on the beach, and I begin to unpack. I have taken, this is no exaggeration, some of you have heard this story, I have taken 16 pairs of leggings, black leggings, long black leggings, 16, I didn't even think I owned 16 pairs, but I did, 16 pairs of black leggings, a handful of mismatched tops, most of them winter tops, none of them which really went with anything, no underwear and no bathers. And I just remember looking at my case thinking, my goodness. So we started with a shopping trip just to get essentials so I could survive 2 weeks in the Gold Coast without my leggings, my winter tops, and I was able to wear underwear and bathers. So that's probably, I would suggest to you that packing in haste is not recommended. And it was recently that I heard, or I actually read a book by a gentleman, and he worked for the royal family in the UK. He works for the Queen. It has for a long, long time. And his position is a royal packer. All he does is pack luggage for the royal family when they leave. In fact, no, all he does is actually pack luggage for Prince Charles. That's his job. He said everyone of the royal family have a full-time royal packer. And so he said all they do is they spend their life packing to ensure that whoever it is that is going away, that everything is there. He said the royal family, whether it's a day outing or whether it's a 6-week tour of Australia, he said the royal family don't pack anything. He said months ahead of time, he goes through every schedule. And he looks, he said, and he was actually talking about the Australian tour that Charles and Diana had done, that many, many years ago, obviously. And he said that he had had the schedule about 12 months ahead. He said by six months ahead, he has already worked out and has got spreadsheets and written down every day how many outfit changes, what they need. He said if it's a particular event that one of them has to have a military outfit, he's got that. He's sorted out. He knows the regiment. He said he's got every medal. He's got everything down to the socks, the shoes, everything is sorted. He said, I think if I remember rightly, it was 6 weeks before the trip. It is all packed, labelled. He said it's in crates. He said there's spreadsheets. Everybody's got them. You can cross-reference anything you want and that. And he said his job is the fact that he said he has to pack for every contingency. Weather, he said he has to have a good weather, a bad weather option. He has to have a rain option. He has to have a death of a military option. So he said, sorry, a death of a head of state. He said, so if the President of the United States dies while Prince Charles is on tour in Australia, he has to have a black mourning suit. But that has to be a different black mourning suit to what he would wear if the Queen had died while he was in Australia, because she is immediate family and the head of the crown. So he said, all these things have to be there. So he said, you know, he was talking about this particular tour, he said Diana had to have a black dress. But again, he said the dress, she had to have three or four black dresses depending on who died. So everything is taken care of, right down to the last detail. And I remember when I read that book, I thought, God, I need one of those. I need one of those people in my life that I can say in September, we're going here. Can you please pack for me? Every detail, you know. Can you pack for me so I've got the right shoes, so I've got this, so I've got that. And that is actually, that is a full-time job. And he said every senior member of the royal family has one professional packer. And he said then they also have part-time packers who support them. And he said that is what they do for a living. He's done it, he said, I think for around 40 years. And he said he loves his job. He said that's all he does. He said he never goes with them. Because he said, when they're on tour, he said he's packing for the next thing. He said he's working 6 months ahead of them. But he said that's what their job is. And one of the things that the Lord has been showing me recently is the fact that we have a royal packer in our life, and his name is God. He is our Heavenly Father, and he has packed everything any one of us need for our life. And he did it before the world began. And that, and you know what? We don't even have to pay him. And that, and he's not, and he has got everything packed. You know, it's that I want to unpack today the concept of a case. So today we're actually going to be unpacking a case. And the case is called My Life. When you were born, you didn't come with a case of clothes. In fact, you were born with no clothes. And that you didn't come with anything. You were just born. And that, but you did have a case. And the case was called your assignment, your destiny. The case was called your calling. And that case had been packed and filled by your Heavenly Father before you were even thought of. Before you were conceived, he had already made the case for you. He already had a case that had covered every contingency plan. There was nothing that could happen in your life that he hadn't already taken care of and catered for. And, you know, as the Lord's been really dealing this with me over these last few months since I began praying and looking towards this sermon, it was probably the end of last year, and that it's just so gone off in my spirit, that the concept that every day God has given me everything I need for that day. Every situation I face, God has given me everything I need for that situation. You know, when if Prince William and Princess Kate came to Australia or went to America, they don't wake up worried, will they have something to wear? They know. She's not looking and thinking, my gosh, I've got 16 pair of leggings and we're in Hawaii. What am I going to do? It's totally, God packs better than I do. And that God, it is totally taken care of. And he is the ultimate packer. He's the ultimate royal packer. He does it for everybody, because we're his sons, his daughters, he's the king, and he has packed everything that we need. John 17:4 says, it's my one of my favourite verses, it's a life mantra that I have. I think the one you've got up on the screen, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And that one of the translations I love, it says, I have completed down to the last detail what you put me on earth for. I use that verse almost daily. Lord, help me today to complete down to the last detail what I was born to do today. Help me in this message to complete down to the last detail what you've given me to do. Help me in every assignment that I take on to complete down to the last detail what you've put me on earth for. And one of the things that I love is the fact God doesn't, that verse, it's not, but we haven't been left to our own devices because the resources are there. The provision is there. God has given us everything. It's like we go into every day and like the royal family, we've got a case that's got everything that we need. I'd like you, if you can put up for me Jeremiah 1 verse 5. It says there, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Obviously, God was talking to the prophet Jeremiah. I just want to look a couple of words. Appointed, it means it was decided on beforehand. It was to be appointed, you were given a task, a job, or a position. You are selected for a position. You are fixed or established or chosen for a particular job. And then when it says sanctified, it means you're set apart, you're consecrated. When God gave Jeremiah, he said you were to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah got a case of the buts. He said, but God, I'll read it to you. I think this is from The Message, so you can follow along there, but it may be a little bit different. It says, but then I said to God, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God reached out, touched my mouth and said, look, I've put my words in your mouth, hand delivered. See what I've done? I've given you a job to do among the nations and the governments, a red letter day. Your job is to pull up, tear down, take apart, demolish, and then start over by building and planting. It's a pretty impressive job that God gave him. But how many of us would be like Jeremiah? But God, I'm only a boy. How can I do that? I can't. I don't know how. I love God's response. Don't say you're too young. Don't say you're fearful. Don't say you can't. It says, if we could put up Ephesians 1, verse 11. I'm just trying to give you some scriptures before we really get into the message so you understand where we're going. It says, through our union with Christ, we have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us a destiny that we would fulfill his plan in our lives. I love it. It actually says in The Message, those of you who know me, I love The Message and I love the Passion Translation. It says, long before we heard about Christ, he had his eyes on us and he already had designs for us. Long before you were born, God already had a design for your life. You know, Mark and Kirsty, long before you were born or married or had Sam, God had a design on your life. And that Denise, long before you were born, God had a purpose and a design on your life. I'm just calling people out because I want you to personalize this. I want you to think God had a design on me long before I was born. And it's the same as when I said, I go back to the illustration because it's been a visual that's changed my life about the Royal Packers. Long before Prince William ever lands in our country, there's been a purpose and there's been somebody else who's been planning and preparing for everything. He's had a design. There's been a person who's been working it all out. If we can jump down in Jeremiah, go back to Jeremiah where it says in 29:11, a scripture we see on plaques all around. I know the plans I have for you, The thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that, how many times have we seen that? Sometimes when scripture is used so frequently, you can actually almost downgrade it. It can cheapen it. You see it on placemats, on coasters, on you walk into Coorong, it's all around. And I love the scripture, but you can become so familiar with it that you lose the power of it. If you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking that God knows the plans he has for me, and he's got these thoughts he's thinking towards me, thoughts to give me a future, a hope, an expected outcome. And, you know, God has plans for you, for every one of you who's sitting here this morning. He has plans and assignments for you. He has a destiny for you because you were created for a purpose. I would actually really like you to turn to the person next to you, and I'm sorry if there's anybody sitting on your own, and say, you were born for a purpose. Turn to somebody else and say, you were born for a purpose. You are not here just to wander through life, okay? This is not just a meandering around. You know the concept? And that, you know, I had one of my four children who was the wanderer. You know, the wanderer, you just, And I actually, to be honest, I've got a grandson who's a wanderer. But he wanders fast, you know? You know, like you just, you'll go this way and we'll go that way. And, you know, like, yeah, we see this and then we run over there. That wasn't, God has a plan. He has a road. He has a map. And that for every one of you. And that, but the exciting thing is that because the Royal Packer is our father, he hasn't left, we're not wandering without everything we need. We're not going through life trying to take on an assignment that we are not qualified for. You know, I saw I was going to jump ahead, but I won't, I'll keep going. He's packed everything you need to fulfill the calling of God on your life. He didn't send you into the earth empty-handed. The royal family will not get off a plane and turn around and say, my gosh, where's my cases? Their cases never miss their planes. That's amazing. We've also had cases that have missed our planes. I can throw in a story which I won't elaborate on, but we had one trip a few years ago where we were going up to Queensland to a Jerry Saville conference, and Peter was going up at that stage as the head, as the representative of the Jerry Saville Bible School, and which he was running down here. And he got the idea, I shouldn't throw him under the bus, one of us got the idea, let's pack, what? one of the bus is already driving. One of us had got the idea that let's pack all of our shoes, everybody's shoes for the whole six of us in one case, and let's pack all of our clothes in the other cases, and that, because shoes are kind of, you know, cumbersome to put in a case. So, yeah, I said, it's a great idea. So I did agree. Guess which case did not? We got to Queensland shoeless, going into a conference. So Peter, myself, Caleb and Jordan were wearing thongs. That was all we had. And we were going into a fairly well-dressed conference. Caitlin and Brooke were wearing knee-length boots. That was all they had because they were so heavy. Peter had made them wear them on the plane. So they've got these knee-length boots. The rest of us have got the thongs. And then we find out that we have gone to the Gold Coast. Our shoes are going to Darwin. So it was quite an adventure. And you get the visual. You imagine Peter walking up to be presented to Brother Jerry, suit, tie, thongs. But praise God. And there was no shops open. We arrived at night. The conference was standing the next morning. We did not have time to go out and buy things. But praise God, a miracle did happen. And I think it was early the next morning. Our shoes took a second trip and got back to the Gold Coast. So that's another packing story. We have many. We do need royal packers in our family, okay? And that. But what I said is he's packed everything you need. He hasn't sent you to earth empty-handed. He hasn't given you an assignment and said, go do the best you can. And that he knows everything that you need. When Jenny Kutz spoke at our church a couple of years ago, she said, a God of love would never ask you to do something without first giving you the ability and the resource to succeed. We've got that up in our, when she preached it, so touched our hearts, we've got that up written in our house. A God of love would never ask you to do something without first giving you the ability and the resource to succeed. When faced with decisions, God-given opportunities, so many of us can be like Jeremiah and we can say, I can't do that, I'm only a boy. Or how about like Mary? How can that be? I'm a virgin, like I'm 15 years old. You know, how can that be? God's callings and destinies don't always match what we think. And that David was the least likely to bring Goliath down. David was probably the least likely to be a king. I saw a meme actually that really touched me recently. It says David's brothers saw a shepherd, but God saw a king. So I don't know what it is that the people around you are seeing, but the only thing which is important is what is God seeing. And God is seeing what he called you for. If God has called you, he has packed for you. Has God called you to serve in the church? Has God called you to teach children? Has God called you to write a book? Has God called you to lead worship, to preach, to be an evangelist? Has God called you to be an intercessor? Has God called you to be a cutting-edge businessman that is able to finance many projects in the kingdom of God? Has God called you to be a stay-at-home mum and raise the next Billy Graham? Has God, whatever God has called you to do, he has resourced you for it. He is not sending you out without the resources. Because whatever he's called you for, he has equipped and he has catered for every possible scenario, because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows, it says in Isaiah from ancient times, what is still to come. He knows every day of your life and he knows everything that you're going to face. He knows every situation you're going to go through. He knows every financial need. He knows the tests that maybe you're going to have facing you that you're going to need to come through. He knows them, and because he knows them, and that he has prepared for them. You've got the wet weather alternative. You've got the mourning suit for the dignitary and the mourning suit if the queen dies and the mourning suit for this and that. I didn't know you could have so many mourning suits. But this is a real thing. This is a real thing. He knows if you're going to attend a military event, how many stripes you need to have on your blazer. And that I didn't realise these things can be national disasters if a royal member of the family goes with the wrong apparel. And that the royal packers know that. God even more knows everything you need. There is nothing that could happen in your life that he hasn't already prepared for. Now we're just going to change it up for a little bit. I'm going to be back in a minute. But I'm going to hand over to Brooke. Brooke has an ability to communicate that in a totally different way to me that I don't have. God's given her a skill set to impart that I really want to use today. I encourage you to keep your eyes on the stage. I will be back in a few minutes and let's just be blessed.
Give me a second. Oh my gosh. I had the craziest morning, okay? I'm so stressed and I'm so tired. I missed my bus. I know I was running and then I see the school bus just driving off without me and it was so hard. And so I had to walk like a million miles to the tram stop. Then I had to get on this tram and it's stank. It was so stressful, and I've got such a busy day today. I've got 2 English, 2 maths, psychology, and business management. I mean, I am so overworked. I'm so stressed, and oh, I forgot to tell you the best part. To add on to everything this morning, last night I dreamt, wait for it, I dreamt that I got up on stage and preached at church. I legitimately woke up laughing, going, oh, that is like the craziest pizza dream. I know all I could think about was these horrific memories of grade 5 and standing up there to do my project on amphibians, and I got so mumbled and jumbled, and the whole class was laughing, and even the teacher, I swear he was snickering. It was so awful. And so then I went downstairs to tell Mom and Dad, thinking, oh, they'll think this is hilarious. But instead, they go, well, that's not so crazy. It could be God. When you were younger, you wanted to be a preacher. People said you would preach. But I said, no. I am putting my foot down. Grade 5 taught me that I will never public speak. I will never be a public speaker, not on amphibians, not on God, not on anything. Grade 5 taught me that is the end. Oh, there's the bell. I will see you later. Hi. Hi. It's so nice to actually meet you. Is this my office? This is beautiful. Oh, wow, thank you. I know I've said it many times, but thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm still a bit surreal that you actually chose me. I finished uni 3 months ago, and, I hadn't actually applied for other jobs because originally I'd actually planned on taking a year off to write a book. I know it's very different to all this, but I go to church, and it was a Christian living book, but no, you do not need to worry. The book has not only been shelved, it's been tossed. When this opportunity came up, I knew I had to take it. I had to give my focus to this, and I'm so grateful and so excited, and I would much rather have this kind of career rather than a book that no one would ever read. Exactly. Hey! Ah, how are you? Oh, it's been so long since I've seen you in person. Okay. What's happened in life that I need to tell you about? Is there anything really to report? I met a boy. I did. It's literally like I'm living in a rom-com. He's so sweet. I get butterflies when I'm with him, and I think he's the one. I do. And we are getting pretty serious. I say that because I still squeal, I cry every time I look down. It 2 weeks ago, but I wanted to tell you in person. We told my parents that night, and they're very excited. They really like him. And then we told the church yesterday. Oh, everyone was so happy. Oh, speaking of telling the church, I thought you would laugh at this. So we decided that we would tell everyone after the announcements, and we're standing on the side of the stage. I'm so excited. And can you guess what the announcements were on? Brekkie Club. I know. I was thinking, oh, God, you've got such a sense of humor. Of course, even on the day we're announcing my engagement, they're speaking about Brekkie Club. And honestly, I know we've said that. And you know, every time I see something about Breakfast Club, you know, my heart leaps, and I would love to join. You know, I would love to join. And honestly, yesterday it was so strong, and I almost just put my hand up and said, "Sign me up!" But then I looked at my hand and went, "No." I think the next 6 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days will be more than full. And I mean, nobody. I'm not a kid's person, and nobody thinks I'm a kid's person, and I burn toast, so I would be no help, and I think this needs to be my full focus. Hey, I'm so sorry about that. I swear, if you asked me what do I do for a job, I'd say I change nappies. That is literally, I change one, and then the other one poops. So this is my life now. Before we were interrupted, what I was going to talk to you about is, I know we had kind of all said that next year would be the year the family goes on the missions trip. And I know, believe me, we would love to, and we do, we feel called to it, but recently we just looked at each other and looked at the kids and their ages, and I mean, the oldest one's starting school in not that long, and even financially, I think we realize it's really not the right season. So I'm definitely not saying we won't go. Like, we will one day go, I'm sure, but I think we've just realized that practically it's not going to be a family thing. We might just go the two of us, and we might wait till the kids are a little bit older or even a lot older before we look at doing something like that. I hope you understand. Well, I guess this is goodbye. You've been good, House. You've been very good. You've brought us 45 years of memories, 45 years of lots of laughter, 45 years of cordial stains that never came out. As we pack up and I say goodbye, I leave with no regrets. No regrets, but a case that the movers apparently missed. What are you? John 17:4. Your assignment, your resources. For the assignment. God, what is this? What are these things? My sermon notes. That's my handwriting. What is this? God, these are my sermons. Well, not my sermons. I never preach them, but these are the David and Goliath. I remember when you gave me that illustration, but I never preached it. I never wrote it. Thank you for your sermon today. It was as though God himself was speaking to me. I arrived at church feeling at the end of my rope, but your words were exactly what my heart and my faith needed to hear. And now I'm more confident than ever that God will restore my family. God, what is this? What is this case? This is my book. God, this is my book. This is a 10th anniversary edition of my book. I don't forward by. God, she wrote the forward for the 10th anniversary edition. I love her ministry. Why would she be writing? May this book change your life the way it changed mine 10 years ago. God, I never wrote the book. Who it? God, I don't know who that is. Who is he? Is he baptizing those people? Today we baptized 100 people, and I wanted to share it with you. Who would have thought all those years ago at Brecky Club that this is where my life would take me? Thank you for introducing me to God and to Toasties. God, I never did Brecky Club. I don't know who this is. God, I never introduced him to Jesus. I never introduced him to Toasties. Oh, God, please tell me someone else did introduce him to Jesus at Brecky Club. God, please tell me that someone else gave him a toastie and introduced him to Jesus, and that these people are still being baptized, God. God, please tell me that these people are still being baptized. Our family's missions trips. Oh, God, I so wanted to take the kids on these trips. Oh, look at the kids leading worship. Building homes. Look at us. Oh, God, I so wanted to take them. I wanted sponsorship letters. Sponsorship letters. Sponsor. Oh, God, you would have provided the money. You would have provided the money for us to go. Oh, God. God, my babies are taking their babies to the villages. Oh, God, look, my grandbabies. They're leading worship. Oh, they're building. My grandbabies are... They could have followed my legacy. But I didn't go. We didn't go. God, I didn't do any of this. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was too busy, and then I was too scared, and then I was too intimidated, and I didn't know this was here. I didn't know that it would mean this. I didn't know. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please tell me it's not too late. God, I know I don't have many days left on this earth. I know my life is coming to an end, but oh, please tell me it's not over. Please tell me there's something I can still do. Please tell me I can still leave a legacy. I can do this. I can. I can do this one now. Oh, God, I promise. I promise to spend every breath of every last day fulfilling any assignment I still have time to and unpacking this case.
Even though she didn't get to complete all the assignments God had given her to do, at least she realized when there was still an assignment left that she could do. And who knows, maybe she was able to go on a missions trip, even though she was advanced in years. Maybe she did get to preach. Maybe she even wrote a book. But we don't want to be like this lady and not realize until our later years that God has not only given each of us assignments, but he's also given each of us a case full of resources to accomplish them.
I'd like you to put up the scripture from John 17:4. I've completed down to the last detail what you put me on earth to do. And when the Lord initially gave me this message, it was a kind of a two-part message. It was a message for life, but it was also a message even for this year. Sometimes if you look at an entire life, you can get a little bit overwhelmed. But God is saying that I've got a case packed for every one of you for 2022. And it's everything in that case, everything you need to fulfill what God has put in your life for this year and for your entire life is in the case. But you don't want to wait to the end of 2022 to open your 2022 case. You don't want to wait till the end of your life, till you've sold the house, till you've, you know, you've been married for 45 years, you're moving into a retirement home. You don't want to wait till then to open the case. You want to open it now. And, you know, I think I really want to encourage you, because the message has been a wake-up call to me. I've known there was many assignments on my life. One of my assignments, I really believe strongly, has been to raise four children that would serve God and would fulfill the assignments on their life. One of my assignments has been to stand with Peter and to pastor Breakthrough Christian Church and to be by his side. But there's other assignments on my life that I haven't fulfilled. And when the Lord began to speak to me, it was a wake-up call. He said, I told you years ago I wanted you to do that. I told you, and I've given you the resources, but I've had the excuses. I've had the same excuses like Jeremiah, like David, like Mary, the excuses that Brooke so powerfully portrayed, the distractions, the busyness. And yet, if it's God who's given you the assignment, I promise you the resource is in the case. If time is your issue, I promise you there is time in the case if you will just seek him and ask him how to do it. If fear is the issue, I promise you that God has given you the courage, he's given you the ability. You know, he's like David. His brothers may have seen a shepherd, but God saw a king. The people around you may see whatever you are, but God sees what he's called you to be. And, you know, and even there's times when assignments may finish and may change. I still remember in 2012, we were back in America, at Brother Jerry's church in Texas, and I still remember that on the last day there was the powerful move of God. It was in a minister's conference, and I remember the Lord spoke to me. At that stage, I was the worship leader at our church, and I used to lead all the meetings. I'd done it for years, and there was a sense I loved doing, and I thought that was it. And I still remember the Lord saying, I'm changing that assignment. You've completed that assignment, and I'm calling you to speak. And I still remember, you know, sometimes you think you maybe overheard God talking to the person next to you. And I remember I looked to my right and it was Peter, and I looked to my left, it was Brother Jerry. I thought, well, God, I don't think I've ever heard, because both these men are preaching all the time. That's what they both do as a life calling. So I haven't overheard you speaking to them. You're obviously speaking to me. But I remember standing, I can still visualize that church standing there in the front row between Peter and Brother Jerry and thinking, no, there's no way. I'm not a public speaker. I'm like Brooke. I had many grade 5 failed projects, you know, standing up and I never thought I had a command of English like others did. I didn't think I was, you know, I spoke eloquently. But yet God called me. He gave me the assignment. And I remember the rest of our trip and coming home, I began to talk to Peter about transitioning, about giving somebody else the worship leading. And I think it's been very obvious. The anointing, which is so powerfully on Caleb as he's taken that over. And between him, Jason, who I initially gave it to. And I just, you know, God's got everything. God's got everything ready for you. But, you know, I said the wake-up call to me last year at the end of the year when I began to think about this was, God, how many excuses? I know the assignments I have fulfilled. That's great. But how many excuses have I made for the other ones? And yet if I open my case, the resources were there. The money was there. The ability was there. You know, and I don't want to get, you know, to the end of this year, and I don't want to give God back a full case that hasn't been opened, or a half full case. I don't want to get to the end of my life and take. God doesn't want us taking heavy cases into heaven and saying, you know, look, God, I didn't open the case. Here it is. It's all intact. It's all packed perfectly. You know, I don't want to have. I did have a case here. I'm not really sure. Is it the green one? I had a case here that I will try to unzip. And this is not what I want. Sorry, I'm not great at packing them. I'm not great at opening them. This is not what I want the end of 22 or the end of my life to be like, where I've got all these amazing things packed really nicely, really, really great. You know, I've got everything. I've got all my hair product there. You know, I've got tops for every season. And they're all still sitting there in their individual little packing things, packed so well. And that not even like my cases normally look like. And yet I haven't actually opened them. You know, God doesn't want us to give back full cases. He wants us to give back empty cases. At the end of this year, I would love on New Year's Eve to be able to give God an empty case and say, hey, that's my 2022 John 17:4 case. And it's empty because I overcame the distractions. I overcame the fear. I overcame all the things. I overcame the busyness. And I actually went to the case and I opened it and I did all that. And the same as when I get to the end of my life, I don't want to march into heaven lugging a full case of resources and that. It's like the parable of the talents. You know, the master wasn't really happy with the man who brought back the talents that were unused. He was happy and delighted with the people that had used the talents and those talents had produced. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we are doing something we've never done here in this church before. Thank the Lord for a loving husband and pastor who helps me. We've got helium balloons here. The helium balloons Caitlin's bringing, I've got Peter, have you written on them? No, okay. Well, we were going to write, yeah, okay.
The helium blue ones, each of them, I wanted them to represent something that is standing in the way. It could be fear, could be disappointment. What about, it could be the feeling of inadequacy. It could be finances. I'm just reeling off things that can stop you. I remember one of the assignments that God had put on my life, and that three different times he'd spoken to me about it privately, personally, in my time with the Lord, and then he'd spoken to me about it through a prophetic word. Then, you shouldn't have to be spoken to so many times, we were on a camping trip with some friends from America, Glenn and Holly Duncan, and we had gone, you know, for one of these kind of big hikes. And halfway through, I can't remember whether I'd hurt my ankle, I'd done something, and then I decided I was going to call it quits and go back down the mountain and let the rest of the family go on. And Peter was leading the way. He was the one in charge of the hike. So Glenn said to me, I'll walk back down with you. He said, I'll go back down. And so I went down, and as we're down, he turned around, and I can still remember. These things will become vivid. I remember Glenn turning to me and looking and saying, God's told you to do dot, dot, dot. And I was just like, yes. And he said, why haven't you done it? And I'm like, my ankle's sore. I need to hobble here. I don't know. And he said, why haven't you done it? And I said, how did you know God told me? Because he said, last night, because we got away camping for a few days with Graham and Judith and with Glenn and Holly, having a great time. And every night we'd have a bonfire. We'd sit and talk about the Lord for ages. And he said, last night when we were around the bonfire, he said, the Lord said to me in my spirit, I told Christine to do this, and she hasn't done it. So he said, I said, God, give me an opportunity where I can share it with her on her own, and that he didn't want to embarrass me. And we're walking down, I'm like, wow, it's like, God, you've read my mail. Do you know what I mean? You have read my mail. And it really, really, really kind of, it grabbed me and pulled me up. But can I say, in sadness and in embarrassment, I still didn't do anything. And then about 2 years later, and that Bruce Hills, a preacher, a man of God who we highly aspire in this church, he comes here, highly admire, sorry, in this church, he comes here and preaches once a year. In fact, he's going to be with us soon. And also a friend of mine who we grew up together, so I know him really well. He was preaching on the Saturday night service, and we'd walked in, him and I were just sitting there visiting for a bit because we hadn't seen him or his wife for a while. And then he suddenly said, has God told you to do this? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, yes, he has. He said, why haven't you done it? And I'm like, Lord, this is, you know. So I'm in the process of doing it. It's still not completed. But all I'm saying is that the resources are there. But I've made so many excuses. Too busy, feeling inadequate, feeling like, who am I to do something like that? I'm only a new Christian. I like that one. I haven't been Christian long enough. All these different things, and yet God wants you this morning to say, whether these are your 2022 excuses or whether these are your lifetime excuses or whether there's a mixture, we're going to let them go. We're going to let them go and pray that there's no explosion when they reach. They're not, we're strategic where we are letting them go at that. So we're going to let them go. And I want to do this because I'm very strong. I'm a very strong visual learner. So then I will be a visual speaker. I want you to have something to go home and remember. That's why I asked Brooke. Brooke wrote and acted that out so powerfully because I wanted something that in 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 12 months, that you will remember. Brother Jerry once said, and I think it's so true, he said, few people remember my sermons, but few people forget my illustrations. Because he said, I do an illustration and that picture keeps coming back. I'd love that picture of Brooke crying on her knees as she's opening a case and realizing all the opportunities that have passed. But then the delight when she realizes there is still actually an opportunity, there is hope. I want you to see these helium balloons going up unskilled. That's true. They're one of the assignments God's asked me. I feel so unskilled. I say, give it to you know, Caleb, he would be so much more skilled than me in this. And it's not writing songs, it's okay. But I'm just saying, it's to do with writing things down. It's like, I don't feel I have the command of English to do that. Or what about this one? I'm too old. You're not. You're not too old. If God has called you, He will give you the strength to do it. And that. What about no time? That's a big one I use. And that I'm only a new Christian. I'm too old. And that I'm finding them all fear, inadequacy. You know, what about being distracted? What about Brooke? She's getting engaged, but God has come to her again and again and again about Brekkie Club. And that. And then on the day of her engagement announcement, but I'm too busy. I've got all this happening. Or you've wandered. I think the illustration that she gave when she got the job representing an executive office, but she knew God had called her to get a part-time job and actually write a Christian living book that would change people's lives. And then He was going to give her a job. But when she saw this, the glitter and the glamour, the corner office, the CEO title, whatever it is, if it's in America, the vice president position, you know, it was too much of a lure. I remember it really brought tears to my eyes when I saw her do this for the first time. And when she said, I'd far prefer to have this job than the book that nobody would read. How many people are waiting on the other side of your obedience? That's another mantra we have in our whole home. There's somebody waiting on the other side of your obedience. And I want to say there's nobody here this morning who is in this room, who is watching on live stream. God has not given you a case full of assignments, opportunities, and He wants to see you fulfill them. And there are people that when you get to heaven will say, you know what? I'm here because of you. Because you fulfilled that assignment, I'm here. Maybe it's not even somebody you directly know. I see something in my spirit now. Somebody saying, going up to somebody in this church and saying, thank you. I'm in the kingdom of God because you financed a meeting, or maybe it's for our pastor to go overseas and speak or do something. And that person has got saved, but the joy of the salvation is not just the pastor or the person who's ministered here. It's you because you financed it. It's you because you did that. You know, serving toasties, it doesn't seem like a life-changing thing. But what if one of those people in 30 years' time is an evangelist? Being a mother and changing nappies day in and day out, and that for some people may not seem that rewarding, but when you see your kids standing up on a platform, leading people in worship, preaching with the anointing of God on them, winning people to God, that is so rewarding. And that, so whatever it is that God has, whatever assignment God has on your life, I want you to realize two things. Your father is a royal packer. He has provided everything. If He called you, He equipped you. And He has got everything in the case, in any of these cases that we've got around here. He has got everything in the case that you need. And He also says to you this morning, get rid of the excuses because you don't need them. So we're going to, in a minute, I'm going to get our pastor to take over and he's going to pray. And then once he's done that, I'm going to get Caitlin to release these balloons. And I want you to look and see them going up and realize that as they are going up, that's your excuses. And you're not going to bring them back down again. And that you're not going to bring them back down with you. You're not going to hold on to them. You're going to actually let them go. And then I've asked Caleb and Brooke to lead one of Caleb's songs, which I love. I love them all, but this one, Into the Day. It talks about the fact that we are taking steps into what God's called us to, and that we are moving forward. If somebody, I don't know who can, if somebody can get the kids for me and to bring the children, because we've got one last thing we're going to do at the very end.
which I'd love the children and the super kids to be here for. But I would like us to, as Pastor prays, and then as Caitlin releases these blue ones, let this be your time with God to say, God, I know what assignments are undone in my life. I know the things that I haven't followed through on. And then there'll be more assignments coming. As I found in 2012, God put a new assignment on me. He said, you've done that. You've completed it. You've done a good job. Now, this is what I've called you to do. Your assignments will change. But I want you to realize that whatever it is, everything you need is in the bag.
Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. First of all, we want to say thank you that you do call us. You do have plans for us. We are you see us. You have knit us together perfectly in the womb with plans. Father, I think of someone here and you say, oh no, but I was actually an accident. My parents didn't even intend for me to be born, or I wasn't wanted when I arrived. Well, I want to tell you right now, there is no accidents. There are no unwanted babies in heaven. God has a plan for each of us. He has a calling for us. And so we say thank you for that, Lord. But with that comes the responsibility. And then, Lord, we can become overwhelmed. We can look to excuses. I want to say thank you for not only calling us, I want to say thank you that you have declared everything needed, everything required. Lord, if we will press into you, if we will lay hold, we will find there is strength for the journey, wisdom and grace to get things done. And I appreciate that, Lord. And I thank you that today would be the day of just releasing and letting go of excuses. Father, anyone here who's watching or listening to this later even, and even as you're watching and you're going, yeah, it's fine for you to say, but you don't know my circumstances. I would if it wasn't for this. Oh, if it wasn't for this, I'm telling you, dig into God to find out what you can do and let him take care of all the rest in Jesus' name. Father, let us become those that are hungry to do what we can do with what you've given us. And we will not be bringing our talent and saying, Lord, we hid it because we were scared what would happen. But instead, we have invested and used those things that have been in our case. And Lord, now we bring to you the fruit of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like you all to stand. And I'm going to ask Caitlin if she would just let these go. And I want you to see every excuse that you've ever had, everything the enemy has ever put in your mind. I want you to see them one by one.
There's a blank one. Yeah, that's for your excuse. You know what I mean? That's for yours, okay? All right? Just whatever works for you, there's a balloon for you.
Amen. Let's see, Caitlin, let them go and let it be a powerful reminder that the excuses are gone. They're not coming back down. When you get here next Sunday, they'll be left. They're leaving the building because we are stepping into the day and into everything that God has.